Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7 and 8 figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers, a part of the amazing FBA family. If you want to scale fast, target a 7 figure exit and enjoy the process, then keep listening. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader, co-hosted by myself, Michael Veazey, and Jason Miles, top 1% Shopify store owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving e-commerce business, look for The E-commerce Leader on your favorite podcast app and subscribe today. Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast, a subset of the amazing FBA podcast geared to the needs of 6, 7, 8 figure Amazon sellers. Now, of course, automatically when I say figure, I mean revenue, but of course, that is not the only way of looking at a business. There's cash flow, there's EBITDA, there's profit, there's, of course, the value of a business as an asset, which is really what we're talking about today. So we're talking to Chris and Jason from Global Wild Advisors. And today we're going to be focusing on the three things that if you're a business owner, an FBA or Amazon business owner specifically, you should be thinking about to formulate your exit strategy. So welcome back to the show, folks. Good to see you here.
Thanks, Michael.
So three things you should be thinking about, gents. Fire away. What should we be thinking about?
Lots of things to start. Yes, there's lots and lots of detail, but for the sake of time and trying to package this to where we can give some really good nuggets on what to think about when it comes to your potential exit, you know, what are three things just to keep in mind? And they will beget lots and lots of questions for the business owner, and they'll also beget lots and lots of thoughts and strategic thinking, hopefully. But yeah, three things, and then we'll go into some details. I'd say financial and data organization is number one. Number two is your product roadmap. And number three, it's the opportunity of the brand. I think those three things, if I were to boil down, what are the hot buttons for a potential business owner to think through today before they are looking to speak to a firm like ours or helping business owners that are listening? Our firm does, well, we help people very well when it comes to these particular bullet points and thinking them through. So I'll just go ahead and dive right in. Financial and data organization. The way that we can handle this particular bullet point is I can walk you through what we know is important before, as you're still running your business day to day, as you're growing your company, and as we're having discussions potentially with the business owner about exit planning and exit strategy. And I think it might be great too, Jason, if you want to hop in and then talk about some of these points on the other side of the table, which is the buyer's perspective and also say due diligence. Sure. In particular. So financial and data organization is as simple as that sounds. It's actually a very important piece that a lot of folks tend to not think as thoroughly as they should about. So financial organization, having the right CPA on your team, having the right bookkeeper, making sure that you have the right financial documentation in place. Those would be, put simply, monthly P&Ls, you know, looking at an income statement every single month. It's potentially a cash flow forecast, a balance sheet, some of the most basic but fundamental financial documents that are extremely important to reading the health of your business. And so the way I like to talk about it is really like a ship. The financial and data organization is your rudder. How do you know where the business is going? How do you know how to invest? How do you know how to, you know, invest, whether it's capital, whether it's new product, whether it's HR, whether it's new channels of distribution? You have no idea what to do unless you're looking at really good financial data. And so that's probably, I'd say, point number one about financial organization. Data organization, put simply, having the right software applied to your business. And, you know, Michael, you know as well as I do, running the mastermind and having lots of conversations just in the FBA world and waxing poetic around growth and growth tools, et cetera, there's lots of different software applications or SaaS applications that are out there that help business owners, specifically FBA business owners, understand what their data really is, right? From advertising data to order and inventory data. And now Amazon is starting to open up some data around demographics and your consumer and conversion data. some of these things are in beta, but we're starting to actually, they're starting to slowly open the door. And when we're able to see a little bit of the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain when it comes to some of that consumer data. But there's lots of software out there now where business owners can't really be caught with the excuse of, well, I didn't know what to do. There's so much information out there where they can get, I'd say, organized from a data perspective. So I'd say on the front end, as we're talking to business owners about their company, that's typically the number one thing we're going to ask lots of questions about once we start our conversations around exit planning and exit strategy. Jason, do you have anything to add, say, on the other side?
Sure.
Organization and its importance to the buying community?
I'll give an analogy, and I think maybe it's likely many of your listeners have seen shows like Dragon's Den and Shark Tank and some of those, which are sort of like the reality pop culture version of business buying, right, or business investing. But one of the things that comes up on those shows frequently is just a phrase that's know your numbers and how important it is to know your numbers. And it's not only important from the standpoint of inspiring confidence from the buyers that you actually do understand your business down at the call it atomic level, that you're able to quickly pull information together and understand what that information really means and says about your business. And so there's a inspiring confidence kind of factor where buyers want to know that you're very organized, that you understand the business, you're able to provide them with information, metrics very easily, you understand those metrics, you understand what they mean for the business, you can have a great conversation around how to improve those metrics. So it's financial, it's also even things like conversion metrics and customer acquisition metrics and so on and so forth. So it comes into play in a lot of places, and certainly due diligence is one of the places it also comes into play, where once you're under a letter of intent and you're trying to get a deal closed, if information is difficult to pull together because it's not previously organized, that can start to give buyers a little bit of an uneasy feeling about the company. So those are a handful of reasons why, from a buyer's perspective, you want to have your data well organized and actually understand it yourself.
Totally makes sense. And by the way, the Shark Tank Dragon's Den analogy was the one that popped into my mind as well. So great. So tell me about the product roadmap then, Chris. That's obviously the next thing on the horizon.
Next bullet point that we talk a lot about with not only our clients as we're prepping them for market, but prior having good conversations with potential clients and walking through their business is the product roadmap. So if you look at the know your numbers, right, the financial organization, the data organization as the rudder, then you really need to look at the product roadmap as the engine, right? It's the thing that's going to drive the actual sales. But it's really important to think through because, you know, we were just talking about this here at the office just yesterday about how fast products are changing, right? And product life cycles now are much shorter than they used to be. And I don't have a quick data stat on that, but we all know that product life cycles are shortening. And you've got to think through not necessarily cannibalizing your own product set, but you've got to think through what's coming next as you start to feel that bell curve down a lot faster now, right? And it's also just really understanding, where can this brand actually go, right? I've got this one product, maybe I've got two or three different products, and I know that at some point sales are going to start to maybe slide down. So where can I expand this product set? Where can I find maybe new consumers to convert within a given vertical? And then also really talking about just specific verticals. You know, I know that there is several, and your listeners probably have this type of business where, and they might be private label, but they're playing in a few different verticals. You know, really being able to focus brand on one vertical does create better value for your business in the long run. It creates a very focused effort. So then just thinking through that, what can I do to convert more consumers, right, within that particular vertical? But where can I also expand the products that are winning? And so there's a lot that goes into it. You know, in my former life, we would spend literally months planning for the future. We would always think in 3-year increments in terms of not only what products we would work with our product marketing managers, but what products are we going to launch? And then also thinking through, where are they going to go? What channels of distribution are they going to go in? And why does it make sense to make this product for this particular channel, but this product maybe for this particular channel? Now, I know for most of your listeners who are focused on FBA, they're going, yeah, I'm not even thinking through that. Well, it's time to start thinking through that when you're thinking about a potential exit and driving more value for your business. Jason, do you have anything to add on the other side?
I do, yeah. And I think it's worth noting that what we're seeing in the market is that FBA businesses that are very focused on a particular vertical, that have a clear path to future product expansion and have the opportunity to maybe expand the brand off of Amazon, those are the ones that are most highly desired and the ones that people pay the most for.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. I mean, obviously, diversification, we've already talked about in the last episode that the risk of just Bezos getting up on the wrong side of a bed. And there's so many famous examples of that, by the way. I mean, one single person emailed in, offended that they'd been shown some, quote, adult products. I think it was around sexual health rather than anything particularly pornographic. And he shut down, I believe, the entire email follow-up system for all of Amazon. It must have cost them tens of millions of dollars just for 2 days or something. But that he just did it. So, yeah, you're right about that thing. So the diversification, I mean, we're all sold on that. But I think this clear roadmap to the year, to the future, I think in terms of 3-year increments, that sounds kind of intimidating, although it makes sense. Is there a case for being able to sell a business for a reasonably substantial sum without necessarily having a 3-year roadmap to the business sort of product future? Is that a necessity or is that a sort of nice to have, would you say, at this stage of the game?
Yeah, I'll let you take that, Jason, just from the buyer's perspective. I mean, I would say, even though it sounds intimidating, making sure that you're speaking to the right advisors, and not just saying financial advisors like us, like Global Wire, but when you're speaking to either the right internal person that you've hired to help with it when it comes to product management, you know, these are all very standard practices when it comes to growing up as a business owner and becoming what I would call, it sounds very Pinocchio, but a real brand, right? These are all standard operating procedures in any type of small, medium, or enterprise level business when you're a consumer product company.
Interesting. Well, that's certainly a very different perspective to one that I come across with the more sophisticated. Maybe that only the people that are doing several million dollars a year revenue tend to think in those ways. So that's very interesting. Okay, so the third thing is the opportunity of the brand then. What does that even mean? I'm not sure. This is a very interesting mystery to me.
So, you know, if we're talking about it in as a ship, you've got your rudder, now you've got your engine, and now you need to create your GPS, right? Where is this brand going? Are you just going to be a forever brand on Amazon? Well, the reality is maybe, but you want to think through making your business more attractive when you're thinking about it from a lens of selling or exiting. And so what are the things that can make this particular business more attractive, right? Now, this plays hand in hand with, I would say, product roadmap and thinking about your product roadmap, right? You're thinking about channels of distribution and you're starting to really think through what we call a channel strategy. Is there opportunity when it comes to Walmart, right? That marketplace. Is there opportunity when it comes to other marketplaces that are slowly opening up, like Target, like Home Depot, like Wayfair, et cetera? So that's called just one layer of opportunity. Well, the next layer is, what does the opportunity look like for a direct-to-consumer model going through your website, right? Or an e-commerce-driven model. What does that look like? And it's more than just saying things like, could go into Walmart, could sell through their website. It's getting really deep on the drivers of how and when and why, right? And really, what we're talking about is applying strategic thinking and strategic planning to your business on what is it going to be when it grows up? What is this business going to look like in 2, 3, 4, 5 years potentially? Now, that view gets very cloudy and very murky, typically past year one, sometimes year two. But if you have a real defensible strategy defendable strategy when it comes to going into new channels of distribution, international, maybe some wholesale expansion, et cetera. These are all things that make you more attractive when you talk about supply, right? And supply being, you know, as your business going to market versus another business going to market. These are the thing and value drivers or drivers of attractiveness to your business, being able to defend these things. And that's one of the pieces that we do spend a lot of time with the business owner. You know, when they are a client of ours and we are preparing them for market, we spend a lot of time really thinking through that strategic plan for where this business is going. It's really, really important. Jason, do you have any kind of on that other side from a buyer's perspective?
I would say, I mean, all three of these things are critical, but the one that I would say is the most critical is really this one, because obviously a buyer is not able to access your past success, right? Your past success is just simply an indication of what the future might look like. So a buyer only owns the future. So the more that you can not only lay out a bright, successful future as the person or people who know the business best and who are the probably most qualified to determine, you know, what a great future for the business looks like and a strategy of how to achieve it, at the end of the day, it is the thing that matters the most, because when a buyer is trying to determine, well, what's my return going to be on this investment? What's my risk going to be? That's directly correlated with the risks to the future and the opportunities, you know, to the future. So while we certainly find ourselves a lot of times when clients engage with us, they've done very little of that. And part of our process is to actually really develop those potential opportunity paths. It's actually better for business owners to have thought about that long before they get to us. Right. It's just a much, much better scenario for the business owner, and likely will lead to a better outcome. Because as Chris said, it's not just about, oh, I theoretically could do X or Y. What the buyer, you know, buying community wants to see is that you've at least maybe tested the concept a little bit. There's a little bit of proof that, hey, this is a real viable channel that we can access, or this is a real viable path we could go down. So that requires a little bit of prior planning to show some of that evidence to the buying community when you go to market.
Yeah, this is very interesting. And I'm very glad that you put that last bit in, because it's suddenly, as soon as you said it, it seems so clear that they're buying the future. A buyer only owns the future. That's my tweetable for today right there. But of course, you're right. I mean, people are only really buying. The thing is, we get obsessed with valuation metrics, which are just a kind of simplification, right? Because really speaking, it doesn't really matter what your last 12 months trailing profit losses or cash flow or EBITDA, whatever you use, right? Because the only reason that matters to a buyer is what it says about the future. And you've just really put your finger on the importance of having that, not just a vague idea of what's possible, because they can probably read the blogs as well. It's like, here's how we've assessed the how it fits with our brand and how viable it is and how we could cash flow it and all the nitty gritty, right? I can really, really see that. So this is a profound mentality shift, I think, we're asking people to do. And I think this is so incredibly important work. I'm so delighted we could get you guys back on, because like of all the podcasts I'm doing at the moment, I think this is probably the most mentality shift demanding. And I think it's the most important one that I can persuade anyone to think about, is just like think like an investor and then really get your head around how different that is to being a manager day to day, week to week, because it's just profoundly different.
Yeah.
So look, we better wrap this up there. Great, great stuff, guys. Really great. If people want to talk to you, do you have sort of particular criteria for the guys that you do and don't work with, or how do people get to have some of this great advice that you proffer?
Absolutely. I mean, for your listeners, we're obviously very altruistic when it comes to, you know, making sure that if someone reaches out to us, we're not going to just let them just kind of hang there. We're happy to help. We're happy to be helpful. Happy to give, you know, good advice from our criteria or from our perspective. Our criteria and our process works very well with business owners who are cash flowing around, I'd call it, and I'll translate it to pounds too, about 900,000 to about, call it at a minimum 0.2 million pounds, about $1 million to $1.5 million in US dollars for cash flow and up. You know, that's really where our sweet spot is. Even if you're looking from a revenue perspective, really revenue of a minimum, I'd call it a 5 million to about 50, 60 million is really our sweet spot. We do go up from there. We do have actually a couple deals right now that we're actively prepping that go above those numbers, but that's really our sweet spot. But as I mentioned, Michael, we're happy to be helpful to your listeners. Go to our website, Global Wired Advisors. If you just put that in Google or Bing, Yahoo, it doesn't matter. We will be the first ones to pop up, or globalwiredadvisors.com. On our website, there's a couple different ways to get a hold of us. My email is actually on the website, so that's number one. Number two, we have a valuation tool where we're constantly changing and putting in real-time data. Now, massive caveat, it's an 80,000-foot view. Devil is always in the details, and so we always follow up from that valuation to make sure folks truly understand what their particular valuation could look like in a range in the market. And then we also have a consultation page where folks can go and just fill out the consultation form to spend some time with us.
Great. So you're making yourself very, very available, which is very generous considering the amount of expertise you guys offer. I mean, it's very useful stuff. Amazing stuff. Any final words from either of you that you think is a useful takeaway for somebody prepping their business for an exit one day?
I'll just throw in, it's exciting time to be an FBA seller, to understand how to be successful on Amazon. So I think anyone who has even had a little bit of success should be very excited about the future and not only their ability to grow their business, but potentially, you know, exit it one day for a strong valuation.
Wonderful words on which to leave it.
Jason said it best.
Thank you. Well, guys, it's been a real pleasure. Chris Shipfling, Jason Somerville from Global Wired Advisors. Many, many thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to the 10K Collective podcast, part of the family of amazing FBA podcasts. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com.